You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Universe Podcast.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Garrett Hess.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Today we are reviewing Clarissa Shields, 1619, Nate Bargatze, 1620, hilarious dude.
So
and
funny.
Jim, is it Brewer?
What's his name? Jim Brewer.
Brewer, that's it. Yeah, 1621. He's got probably the best laugh ever. Love that guy.
He's
like a little kid. He's like very high.
Makes me laugh thinking about his laugh.
Yeah, he is the best. I want to talk just a minute about kind of how Joe has been on the podcast recently. I don't know if you've noticed, but he definitely seems more relaxed and chilled now that he's moved.
I agree.
Yeah, obviously he was right in the thick of everything in LA and frustrated by what was happening, like many people, like I was.
Right.
Like you have been, still are at times.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of always on his mind and wanting to move, but it definitely seems like he made a good choice for himself.
I mean,
he's really happy with that transition is what it seems like, because he's just more chilled on... In some ways,
I think he's I don't want to say more open-minded, but definitely that just goes without saying. But he's the fact that he's kind of like influencing all the other comedians to move out there and just changing the space and not saying that it has to be in a certain spot like it's always been in Hollywood. It's like it's a nice switch up, and it only takes somebody to think outside the box for something to change, and you can change it obviously within one day. I mean, he just moved out there and now he's got everybody out there. He's doing shows and everything looks...
It's kind of crazy, really. Imagine if he went and no one went with him. No one.
That's a good point.
He's just on his own. He realizes that nobody likes him.
And it's the way he talks, too, everything's coming. So it's like, this is just the prelim. He's got a whole mapped out plan that he just can't expose right this second. And when it all unfolds, I think that it's going to be way better than LA ever was, probably. Because it's going to be all the good. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it doesn't seem like it's the shallowness and the trying to get on a TV show and all that stuff is going to be like separate, I think.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out, you know, right, in the next 10 years, like what it's done for stand-up comedy, and who knows, there might be a huge boost with tons more comedians. It might make comedy, you know, twice as big as it was before COVID, and that can't be bad for the world.
No.
You know what I mean?
What's the best thing for your body other than laughing and exercise?
Heroin.
true.
Is that a question?
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off with Clarissa Shields. She's a badass for
beast.
Sure.
Beast.
How accomplished is she? I was watching some of her fights recently. I mean, just unbelievable.
She's only
and,
what?
And when
26?
She was talking about. Yeah, she's talking about like training with grown men at age 15 and knocking them out. It's like, wait, what?
Just the beast.
Holy hell.
There's nobody else even on her level. I don't want to say obviously, but I don't necessarily follow women's boxing. I didn't know it was a big thing, but to dominate at any sport is a feat, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's really like the top.
Right. There's nobody. There's like nobody even in her. Like in her level, the way they were talking, I felt like, right?
Yeah, she smashes everyone. Yeah, I mean, you watch her fights and it's unbelievable. It's actually, I'd never really watch much women's boxing either. And I love watching women's MMA in UFC. I mean, really, those fights are just as exciting as
100%.
Any guy fights.
Right.
You know, and they're very technical.
Savage.
You know,
as well, but
they're fighting in a slightly different way because, you know, their bodies aren't exactly the same as the dudes, and it creates like a whole dynamic league. Like, yeah, you know, it's a sexist thought, but at first when they mentioned having women in MMA, and women fights, I was like, ah, is these going to be any good? And it was a bit clunky at first because the division wasn't as, they hadn't had as much experience, you know, right. in the ring, and they necessarily hadn't been training MMA that long. But now we're years in, we've done Ronda Rousey, we've got Nunes up there. I mean, what some of them are doing is just unbelievable. Like, I'll never miss a Nunes fight.
Right.
Like, she's just an animal.
So absolutely
amazing. Just
what was
crushes.
It's insane the amount of, like you were saying too, technical. They're incredibly talented too. It's there, you can see the progression for sure.
Oh dude, 120-pound female UFC fighter would beat the shit out of you so fast.
So quick.
You wouldn't even know what was happening. Right. You're like, fine, I'll do the dishes then. I gotta stop dating these girls.
I like to believe that I could still do some damage on a 120-pound person, but probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you'd be wrong. You'd just be wrong. It's just, that's just your man brain thought. It's like, oh, dude, I'll just tackle her. Yeah, good luck. She'd sprawl out and smash her back of your head in before you even know.
Fair enough.
And then you're like, fine, I won't split the check next time.
All right, well, I got it. Or yeah, you actually got it. You can whoop my ass.
So Clarissa is she's training with Winkle John, I guess, out of Albuquerque. So that's like, I guess it's Greg Jackson's camp. I guess they're all together. So she's right. over there with like John Jones, Holly Holmes.
Wow.
I liked how she was talking about, well, Joe kind of brought it up. It was like, you know, why you get on with Jones and Holly Holmes so well and get frustrated at your other friends, because they're winners, they're champions.
Right.
Like, they don't have that, like, bullshit attitude. They're not making excuses. They're not talking shit.
Right.
You know, they just have that winner mindset.
That's a great...
That's a really cool way to think when you're... Definitely when you're trying to pursue something at your very best.
Whether
it's your job or training or whatever. I mean, you do notice that. I was doing a lot of hard manual labor up in Yellowstone this week, like digging a bunch of snow out of these kind of areas, and it was killer.
Right.
And I noticed right away, even with the young guys I was working with that were strong and like ranch hands, like those guys are just built different.
Right.
But the first people to kind of throw in the towel and quit because it was like that difficult. I mean, it's just brutally hard.
Right.
With the complainers.
That's what it is.
The first ones that were like making excuses and just like, oh, you know, this is so hard. And just, it's almost like they psyched themselves out. It wasn't the strongest guys that finished. It was like one of the smallest guys there. He weighs like 130 pounds. He's the guy that was able to get to the end of the week. No problem. And he didn't complain once. Gets on with it.
Isn't that kind of a metaphor for life? That's what we were just what we were just talking about prior to getting on here.
Definitely.
What you just said too, it's all about who you surround yourself with. It's like, no matter, that's, you have a finite amount of time and you have a finite amount of energy. So it's like, how you consume is going to dictate the rest of your life. So you choose wisely is my point, because
you definitely got to be careful with complainants for sure.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's all the language that you use too. And I mean, not to go back to, I always think that language kind of dictates your life. Whatever kind of language you use is what's going to happen and what's going to self-manifest. It's if you're complaining consistently, well, you're probably going to be sick. You're probably not going to feel good. You're going to focus on all the wrong things. Like, there's been a statement and a thing that I've kind of gotten the practice of whenever people walk up. Because in the restaurant business, everybody's complaining. It's just part of the fucking deal. And a girl will walk up and she's like, I can't fucking stand that. And I don't really pay much mind to it. And the first thing I say, I just say, what do you love? And watch how quickly everything changes. Because you have to, it takes some energy to think about what you love, right?
Right.
So the second you kind of shift your mind and allow your mind to go down that road, the much quicker that you can self-medicate and feel good, rather than, it's all about what you're focused on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You having a spiritual day today?
I mean, it's been a spiritual life, bud. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to always focus. I think the meditation, I was just saying that I was just saying to my girl, I put my yogurt, like I tried to set it on, I had like yogurt and granola, and I was like, I know how the meditation is working, because I tried to set it on my little thing in my closet,
I turned around, the fucking yogurt fell all over all my brand new dress shirts, like, that I just had just dry cleaned.
And hilarious.
My heart didn't even skip a beat. Like, I was just like, oh, no big deal. And I just picked it up and fucking had the dog come over and lick up the yogurt and cleaned it up and moved along. But, I mean, not that warrants, like, fuck! But, I mean, my prior self...
But you've been there, you know?
Yeah, my prior self...
That's the kind of thing that ruins my day.
Right, my prior self would be like, fuck! And then you can smoke, and then you go to your job, and you're like, you'll never believe I set my yogurt up, and it fell all over my brand new dress. It's like, you can just build a fucking story whichever way you want to build it, you know what I mean? Or you can just be like...
Yeah, you can definitely ruin your own day. Talking about... You know, she brings up that whole thing, like getting a good entourage, right? And what she's really saying is this, like surround yourself by people that maybe won't let you stay in that mindset. And then they talk about Floyd and his entourage. And that would be an interesting little miniseries that they should do on like Netflix or whatever. Just showing like who he surrounds himself with, how he stays kind of, I wouldn't say grounded because he's like... flying around in jets and super sweet yachts all the time, but like how he like orients his mind with that incredible lifestyle that he has.
Yeah.
And I bet that, you know, he just has it down. He knows, like, I bet there's just some fascinating people in his group that really make that work.
I'm sure. I mean, he's obviously got the pedigree, but he's got to maintain that mindset in order to be so successful and stay on top of his game like he does. That's obvious.
Oh, for sure.
But I mean, I remember
it's gonna be interesting to see how Clarissa really transitions, because I don't think they've had a boxer move over to MMA in this way. Like Joe talked about, what's his name, Tony that fought Randy Couture, but he just got tripped over and smashed. So he didn't really do anything, and he was old. But, I always kind of felt like, you know, MMA fighters are the best overall fighters, period. Yeah, if we're just talking about kicking ass.
Right.
But it's so specialized in boxing that it's much harder to go the other way. I mean, we saw it with Conor. He didn't have a lot of time to prepare against Floyd, and he was never going to beat him.
Right.
To go into a very... not one-dimensional, but limited sport, no kicking, knees... You know, ground game.
Right.
It makes the striking is like everything they do.
Right.
So if they go the other way, I mean, that's kind of what you see in MMA. I mean, you take Holly Holm, she was a boxer for a long time and then did some kickboxing and then became a UFC champ.
Yeah, that's
a good point. There's karate guys that have done the same. So you can add to it the other way.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting. If she gets her ground game down, I mean, no one's going to be able to stand with her. She's going to be able to straight up outbox everyone, and that's really not up for debate.
Well,
she's going to
say that's going to transition pretty well, I imagine. And then the way she's training, as long as she surrounds herself with the right people, she's young enough that, like that they were saying too, like when you're good at something, you're going to be good at something else too, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I like that she talked about she's never been envious of anyone in her life, and... Joe's like, well, that's a winner's mindset there.
Absolutely. If there's a...
And I want to put a challenge out to the listeners here and just have a think about that. Like, go make a list of people that you're envious of and be honest with yourself. It's okay if you are, like we all are probably with some people. Make a list of those people and then try and jot down like why you are.
Right.
Like, what is it about what they're doing or what they have that you don't have? And just have a think about like what that is, where it comes from.
Does anybody?
I think that would be an interesting little project.
Does anybody come to mind? I mean, I can't. Not that I'm super enlightened or don't have anybody that I'm probably envious of, but nobody like super comes to mind now that you're mentioning that to me. Do you have somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you sit there long enough, you know, you just have to think about. Just think about the people you know that. Have something really good going on in their lives and sit with that feeling and see if it feels good, like if you're proud of them and happy for them, or if you're a little bit annoyed. And I think if you're a little annoyed that you don't have it, then you're starting to like figure out if you're envious.
And then just go talk to a blind guy and see how envious you are.
Yeah, right. And then and then you can appreciate what you got. But that's the point, right? Once you have the list together, it might look stupid. Right. You might be like, oh, I'm envious for that reason. I can just go do that myself.
I think here in America, or maybe this is just my mindset, the only thing, I don't know if this is just part of being American, the only thing you're envious of is having like nicer stuff, because we have life so good, really, in comparison. Yeah. If you look at it that way, it's just like, what do you got, a Honda or a fucking Lambo? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it'd probably just come down to people's jobs, right? How much money they make. Right. I mean, that's probably the focus. And then
that's
like the grass is always greener. You don't know what their job is like. It's probably right. much harder than you think.
Absolutely. And it's just because you got more money, I'm a pure testament of it. You choose happiness. It's not you get a certain paycheck and then you're like, oh, now I'm happy. What is because you're safe? You think you're safe? No.
It's probably just because you buy too much shit. You can just change that yourself. Absolutely. And be like, oh, right. There we go. I changed my budget. Now I've got some money. It's pretty good now.
Good point.
All right, let's take a quick break and let's jump over to Nate Bagazzi. This podcast is brought to you by Stereo.com. Do you ever find yourself shouting your opinions right at us while listening to the podcast? We understand. I do that all the time. Well, there's good news. We've teamed up with the Stereo app so you can talk to us directly every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be going live on the app to answer questions and talk Rogan. Garrett and I will be live on the app, and any JRE Review listener can join in the conversation and discuss anything that comes up. We've done this podcast for many years, and listeners are always reaching out to discuss things that they love about Joe's podcast. Now we've found a way to connect with you and keep the conversation going. So join us at the after party, only available on the Stereo app for the JRE Review, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to connect with us and meet with other Joe Rogan fans. Stereo is the live social conversation app. You can be your own talk host, or if listening is more your jam, jump on our Stereo Talk and ask all of those questions you've been itching to ask. Download the Stereo app and follow us at stereo.com/JREReview. The link is in the description.
That guy. All
right, 1620. Is it Bagazzi?
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. You sounded like a UK Italian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's fish and chips with marinara sauce on it.
Some mayonnaise. That guy is hilarious.
He's a fantastic comedian.
Oh,
and,
dude.
Living in Tennessee now, I think.
Yeah, Nashville, I think.
Yeah, because they have Zanies there,
right.
Which is a great comedy club.
That's like where he does his work.
In fact, I think it was sometime during COVID, his face is like painted on the wall of that club.
Oh,
and
yeah?
A truck like drove into his face, like through the wall.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he posted that, which I thought was great.
Dude, that guy. I watched his stand-up right after I watched the Rogan. I don't know why. I just passed through it on Netflix, and then I went back and watched it. It's hilarious.
He's fantastic. He's definitely one of my favorites. I just love his style.
Yeah,
how he just talks like he just. Is so dumb.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how anything works.
Right.
And when you can pull that off, and he's obviously not a dumb guy.
Right.
I mean, that's the best part about that. I think it's pretty dope that Joe was responsible for one of his first times getting on stage, or at least the first time he got on stage at the Comedy Store.
He just put in a phone call.
Yeah, well, he's only a year in. And I mean, it's like a testament to the types of things that Joe does. But as a new comic... I mean, that's so important.
Right.
Because it's, you know, Joe talks about having comics when he was young. Like, he said Marin said something good about him.
Right.
And, you know, it's such a difficult art.
Right.
That it's those little things.
Dude, those moments.
That make you push. Yeah, you get home, you're tired, you don't believe in yourself, you can't write, you're not worried about going on stage the next day, and then you think... Oh, that guy said I was good. Or this guy gave me some stage time. Right.
Yeah, that can build your whole career. Just a couple of those moments. Be like, all right.
It could be a game changer. I mean, it's hard to know what that did for Nate getting on stage then. But who knows? Joe may have changed his whole life.
That's what people want is validation, right?
Well, it's a lot of those early stage things.
Right.
I mean, even when I think of jiu-jitsu, it's like when higher belt level belt guys... you know, purple belt or brown belt is like, hey, good move. Or like, that was a really nice sweep.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter how hard that training session is. You almost get free energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you get something out of it.
You can't put a price tag on that kind of stuff either. That's just like what those are the moments in your life that you can definitely see like a shift of when things change. I mean, it's all what you put on it, obviously, but
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hard work goes in, but you need tons of luck in that industry.
Right.
You need someone being like, hey, you want to go on the road with me?
Right.
It could have just as easily been someone else.
Right.
You know, you're just in the right spot.
Right.
But that's why constantly being at those clubs is so important. And since COVID and that they've all closed.
Right.
I mean, it's just basically impossible for new comics to do anything. Well, it probably will be for another year.
Let's not say that. It's all with the language that you use.
No, there's no clubs.
I know, but
you can't. This isn't the secret.
No,
you can't just will it into.
That's fair.
Just
that's
be
fair.
Like, I'm just going to believe there's an open mic tonight. No, there's not.
Well, the only reason I say that is because there are people that are succeeding right now, too. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but they're already famous.
Right.
And they've got a huge following on Instagram.
Right.
Or whatever. They're the only people that are really able to put shows on. I mean, there's some backyard shows going on in LA.
Right.
Where some of the restrictions are open. But
I can tell you right now from firsthand knowledge that it went from everybody is doing COVID to if you sit at a booth, COVID goes away because now the whole restaurant is completely full, up, down, back, around. Dude, it's gonna turn around. It's gonna turn around quick. I mean, maybe I'm just being optimistic, but the only thing that I can think, and not to get political, but it seems like no matter what, we went to COVID, and with all due respect to anybody that's sick, to get Trump out of office. That's what it feels like. Especially being here in LA, it's like, oh, we just did all that to do that? That's what it feels like to me, personally.
Why? Because it opened up so quick after the election?
I mean, it's night and day. Like, it's night and day. It's hard to see it otherwise. Like, I don't know what else is it attributed to? It was like, we wanted him out so bad that we did all this. I mean, people died from COVID. A lot of people have died, and a lot of people have gotten sick, and I understand that. But we chose this as the avenue to fucking get him out. I don't know what else to say. That's what it looks like to me.
It might, yeah. I mean, there have been statements made, right?
Right.
I don't follow this stuff too
I don't
closely,
either.
But
that's just
people
my feeling.
Have been like, yeah, we're going to wait until the election and then do everything. And it's such bullshit that, like, everyone, like, the population,
dude,
like, everyone listening to this
so
podcast,
people.
Us, we're the ones that pay.
Right, exactly. I mean, firsthand, you're a walking testament, I am, too. Like, it's interesting how they just mowed over people for their own agenda, is what it feels like.
Yeah, those fuckers.
So, I don't know.
Not cool, man.
Not cool.
It does not make you trust politicians more, I'll tell you that.
Well, I wish there was no money involved in politics, or there was like a cap. You can only make $100K as a politician, and that's just...
Yeah, no, cool. Volunteer. It's pro bono.
At the end of the day, those are the people that... I mean, I guess that's just a perfect world, but man, wouldn't it be nice if we had people that were just in there looking out for other people? I don't...
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know how you make that system.
I don't know. I mean,
talking about conspiracies, they talked a little bit about flat earthers.
Oh, right.
And then the Bigfoot shit, and then obviously QAnon. And I knew he was going to have a story about that because I was living in Nashville for a while, and there are some of the conversations that I had with people that I knew there. When they're trying to tell me about the QAnon stuff, I'm just like,
what?
Wait a minute. Can we just go back and just think for a second? Like, I felt like such a condescending asshole, really, because I was like, they were so sure that this shit was happening. I'm like, how the hell could that be true? Like, it's just like the wackiest theory I've ever heard. I was like, I was just sat there watching and thinking, I think there's like a part of your brain that might be mentally ill.
That's, well, when Joe said that, he was like, was talking about the flat earthers. He's like, there was a time when something came into a certain piece of the population's brains that allowed them to think. And he started making reference to like Kyrie Irving and other people that you would assume. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can just go down a rabbit hole on the internet if there's anything that this has proven to us. You can find anything that supports your narrative.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how convincing those videos are. I bet they are. I bet, like, if you sat there, like, you were forced to sit there for five hours a day and watch them, you probably wouldn't have a choice.
Bro.
I bet it would start changing your mind eventually. You're just like, oh, maybe it is kind of fun.
Bro, I got brainwashed. Like, I got brainwashed with gift cards, if you do recall.
That's true. It can happen to the best of us. We've all been there.
Right. It can happen.
In some way.
Somewhere or another. That if they catch you at a vulnerable spot, you no telling where your brain will go.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bigfoot thing is, I mean, of the three things, Flat Earth, QAnon, and Bigfoot, I'm more likely to believe Bigfoot than any of those.
Just because that could just be another just big gorilla running around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of species we don't even know about that are sitting at the bottom of the ocean, so who knows what else is out there, right?
Yeah, but we would have fucking seen
I want to believe that we would have seen it.
Right. I mean, I know that there's a lot of woods out in, like, the Pacific Northwest, and it's a huge area, but
there had to be one
gorilla thing.
There had to be one running around Walmart at some point.
I think I've seen him.
I think I have seen a Bigfoot at Walmart, speaking of.
I don't know, man.
I don't think. Where do you come up with the flat Earth idea? Is it just because my eyes can't see it, and you're just like, oh, it falls off right there, and then?
I don't know. I think it's like that show, Ancient Aliens.
Right.
They just managed to put like a really compelling story together, and I think people do want to believe. Like, this is why people like things like QAnon and Flat Earth. They want to believe that they know something that nobody else knows.
That's what it is,
and then
right?
The more ridiculous it is, in some ways, the more compelling it is.
Right.
Because it's like, dude, do your research. You got to look in it. This is what they would say to me when I was in Nashville. Do your research. I'm like, how are you gaining this information? And they're like, it's known. Everyone knows it.
You read these
books.
They're
stealing babies. I'm like, what babies are they? Where are they getting it? And I'm like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation. I need another cocktail.
Yeah,
it's wild times.
It's funny what people get passionate about. You think about it though. It's like, if I don't know, man. If you can just direct that energy towards something else, you'd probably be successful. So, because a lot of those people that are that passionate about certain things, you're like, man, if you just shifted that energy right over here, you could probably be very successful and compelling.
Well, you could research some things that might be more factual.
Right. Right.
And then learn some. I mean, at what point do you realize that what you thought was true isn't true anymore, and now you have to admit that to yourself?
Right. Yeah, that's
it. It's like you go down such a rabbit hole that you can't come back from it.
That's what I think.
It's like, look, I believe it, but I don't talk about it so much anymore. I'm like, I think what you're saying is you don't believe it that much anymore, and you're embarrassed.
It's okay to learn. It's okay to learn. That's what life's all about, right? Like, that learning how to do
things.
That's
the idea.
I would hope. But that's why when people get so attached to stuff, I mean, that kind of correlates to politics, to religion, does that tribal mentality. It's like you always want to be associated to something. It's like, man, maybe disconnect a little bit from all these like outside things, and maybe some growth will happen in your life. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like you got to be careful about your own ignorance.
Right.
Like Nate was saying the same thing. Like, he talks about his diet.
Right.
He just loves Applebee's and
McDonald's,
eating junk food and ice cream, and you know, I mean, that's kind of like life on the road as a comic anyway.
Right.
Like, that's
tough.
It's tough to be eating well and
and
doing that, but it is interesting to hear.
Right.
It's like he eats like a teenager.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm trying to quit Diet Coke.
He's like,
who the hell is drinking Diet Coke?
I met my wife at Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah, and they still love going back.
I mean, I enjoy a good Applebee's every now and again.
Dude, I'm with Joe on the fish fillets. Yeah. I eat those shits.
Really?
I'll get one every now and again, yeah. I don't even know what kind of fish that is.
It's catfish.
I don't know if it was ever a fish.
I don't
really.
It's vegan.
They probably figured out a way to turn chicken into fish.
Yeah, who knows?
Some McDonald's I don't know if process. I don't but know. It's good, man. Maybe, I'll eat it. Maybe. Just try not to eat it all the time.
Maybe I should try one. I can't say I've ever had a fillet of fish.
Oh, it's so good, bro.
I'll give that a run for its money.
What about the McRib? You must have had that.
I mean, could you tell me the last time you had McDonald's? I don't know the last time I've had McDonald's.
Granted, it was a long time ago. I mean, sometimes years. I like those breakfast sandwiches. I like to get one.
Oh, egg McMuffin. I'm with you on that. I just can't remember the last time I've always thought about that too. Like the line at In-N-Out. Have you noticed that?
It's huge.
Oh my god! I'm like, I wouldn't wait 45 minutes for the best fucking steak, let alone a burger. Like, I don't know what these people.
That's
are.
Why you go through the drive-thru, bro. They're super efficient over there. No, those high school kids have it down.
No, I mean they might.
They have their tablets. They're in and out. 10 minutes.
You think?
That's why it's called In and Out.
Well, I can see that line going all the way through the Costco parking lot on Washington. So I don't know how fast they're going, but if you say so.
Yeah, it's pretty quick, dude. Oftentimes you'll turn off that one street and then off of Washington onto where it is, and you're like kind of down and around the corner, and it seems like 10 minutes you're through it.
Well,
they're pretty quick.
I guess if you need
it. I don't know, test it.
Yeah, have a look. I'll give it a look. I don't know. Not that I'm better. I just, fast food in general, I'm a creature of habit. I got like a Thai spot, Subway, and that's about what I eat. Otherwise, I go to the grocery store.
Dude, Subway is garbage.
It is. Well, you gotta make. I'm not saying it's good, but you can make solid choices wherever you go.
Do you know that they've classified the bread in Ireland as a dessert because it has so much sugar in?
Really?
For Subway?
Did not know that.
Yeah, I think it's it's under the category of like a dessert place.
Did I ever tell you
something like that?
I got robbed at gunpoint at Subway on my fifth day working there when I was 15 years old. Did I ever tell you that?
No way.
Yeah, it was my fifth day working.
What did he run in and he's like, give me a meatball sub now?
Funny story, there was a Blockbuster, and that ages me, but right next door there was a Blockbuster, and he's like, my wife's next door getting such and such, and I was like, all right. And somebody had called in a to-go order for 3 foot-longs right before we closed, and it was literally my fifth day working there. So we're busy making it, and he comes in. And I'll never forget, my buddy Ben walks up, and I was like going to give my buddy a free sandwich because I was like, I work at Subway, so come in, I'll hook you up. And my buddy Ben came in, and he's like, give me more oil. He's like, he was a funny kid, so he's making me laugh. Right next to me, the guy's like, give me the money in the drawer. Like, he pulls out this like little revolver. And the guy,
whoa.
And the guy right next to me was like, here you go. And he had just done a drop. Like, so he did armed robbery for fucking $70. And I'll never forget the guy that I was working with, he got me the job there. He went, like, when pagers were a thing, he went to page our boss right after. And I, like, I'll never forget, I hung the phone up, and I'm like, 911, Eric, you fucking moron. You know? So you're going to page somebody? They're going to call us back? I was like, fucking hey.
Oh, so, my God. Did they ever catch that guy?
No. I mean, think about that. That moment in his life for $70 could have cost him fucking 30 years of his life, probably. I don't know what armed robbery comes along with, but I can't imagine.
It's not good.
I was going to say, I can't imagine it's fucking soft.
Yeah. But, you're not going to be able to pay for your lawyer with $70.
Right. Yeah, that was a moment. That was definitely a moment. I was right.
I mean, at least take that whole thing of stamps. Remember when they used to do the stamps? Take the whole reel.
Give me
have
all
free
the
sandwiches for life.
Give me all the stamps.
Give me all the stamps now.
I mean, what was going through my
probably
head?
$1 million of free subs.
Thank God the other kid was working, because I hadn't even learned how to work the register yet. I was thinking, with that, if he did that to me, I would have just unplugged the register and handed him the register.
Yeah.
Take it. I don't know.
End up hitting him with the register. You're like, I'm really sorry.
I don't know how to open this thing. Just take the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was when registers were like big ass things. They weren't like little screens.
Dude, that must have been scary.
Bro, I was
right?
15 years old, and my high school was right next door, so I always thought that he was like watching me from somewhere when I was like,
yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. That was like across the street, so I was like, does this motherfucker know that I go to school here? And now he's like, I'm going to have to kill him so he doesn't tell on me? I don't know. That was Mike.
Oh, God. Or for. What, $7 an hour or whatever you got paid?
Definitely worth it.
Definitely worth it. All right, let's jump over to 1621 Jim Brewer.
Right.
This guy's a legend. SNL legend.
So funny.
In one of my favorite movies of all time, Half Baked, and he plays probably the greatest character in there, I think.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. That monologue he does where he's like, he tells the dude what to buy after they get stoned.
Right.
He's like, go to the store. He's like, four big pizzas, man. Everything on them. And then he ends and it's quiet. And he's like, Funyuns.
Funyuns.
Gotta have Funyuns. Like, the list is like absurd. It's that scene is just so epic.
Dude, that character is classic. I mean, I wonder what Dave's first movie was, too. That's got to be one of his first movies, right?
I think that's the first movie he made. Do you remember he was in The Nutty Professor? Right. He was the comedian that like made fun of him being fat. Yeah, I think that was his first movie.
And he was in Men in Tights.
19 then.
I don't know. I don't know if that was before that, but that had to be right around the same time.
Yeah, I think that was before The Nutty Professor. But yeah, he was good in that too.
Yeah, that was good. I remember feeling bad for The Nutty Professor when he was just ripping on him.
Yeah, it was brutal. But then when he came back and just roasted him and like threw the guy in the piano.
Yeah.
So legendary.
Good comeback on that one for sure.
Yeah, that first movie was excellent.
Absolutely.
Talking about Eddie Murphy movies, have you seen the new Coming to America yet?
I have. Have you?
No, I haven't. I've heard it's good. I mean, it was like the number one movie, but I don't know. How can they make it as good as the original?
I don't want to hate on it. I don't want to hate on it because it was entertaining, but it was just like it was the first one on steroids, basically. Like, I mean, just with...
Oh, fair enough.
It was the same thing, but it was just... They took a lot of references from it. I mean, it's such a classic movie, it's difficult to read.
Do they still kind of act clueless, like they don't know how anything works?
No, that's kind of bypassed at this point. They're just kind of reliving a bunch of experiences and... I think
is Samuel L. Jackson make a cameo? You know he was in that, right?
Was he? I don't know. I might have.
Yeah, I think he tried to rob the McDowells.
Oh, that's right.
They like beat him up with the mops.
Right. I kind of passed out for a bit. Saw the reference.
okay. So not a hugely good review.
I'm not hating, but it wasn't my. It was what it was. I guess you always have these expectations, especially for that movie, but it was good. I was entertaining. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Well, you know, so Jim is one of Joe's oldest friends.
Right.
And oldest comedy buddies, which is really cool that they've known each other forever. And Joe, I think the first time on the road was opening for Jim.
I remember him saying
and he talks about days that he's like bombed super hard with Jim and like it, like the effect that it had, how it like pushed him to work so much harder. I guess they were on that show Hardball. I've heard Joe talk about that a bunch. I guess that was the first show that he ever did. I never saw it.
I've never seen it.
But it's interesting. They were talking about what it was like to be in LA back then, and Joe was like, I don't really go to those. I never liked going to the parties because it was all about like who you know and what you're doing and what your project is and da da da, like status. And that's so true. Like that's even true now. Like this, it just attracts that type of people and it does make the conversation so shitty.
Yeah. I try and avoid that. I guess I'm not surrounding myself with that circle, but yeah, it's not enjoyable.
But I mean, you've seen it, right? You've been there.
I hear about it. Like, I definitely hear about it. Maybe it's just I don't put myself in those situations, but I honestly, like, I don't know if it's... I just don't get in a lot of those conversations. I hear that about LA and how people are so superficial and only out for themselves and status and whatnot, but I mean, the people that I surround myself with and not, like, tooting my horn, I just feel like it's kind of all conducive to the lifestyle that you want to live, because I don't really surround myself
with... I think most of it came from dating. Like, doing a lot of L.A. dating.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You notice that? Because it becomes like an interview. I noticed that right. was so much different about dating anywhere else is, like, they want to know what you do, what you're heading towards, what's your five-year plan, like, what's your big project. And,
right.
You know, I guess because there are so many people there that are just like, yep, I just skateboard every day and that's what I do. No offense, Gab.
Why are you talking about my life, bud?
I mean, my life might be simple, but it's pretty gratifying. I'll say that. I enjoy.
You got a good setup, man. For sure.
I enjoy
a good setup.
I enjoy the moments. I'll tell you that.
So Jim quit smoking weed.
Yeah.
I guess he's back on it a bit, but like he was deep into it back in his SNL days, like trying to just survive the cutthroat SNL industry. So you remember when he played Joe Pesci on SNL?
So funny.
It was one of the best characters, but hearing how awful it was, like people would steal his monologue ideas or his script ideas, yeah. And there was like a lot of backstabbing.
That's brutal.
And it just stressed him out. It kind of makes watching the show less satisfying.
Right, because you know what went into it.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just know there's like so much politics behind the way that everything there works, and it's not really like this loving, supportive community of comics.
Just cutthroat.
It's like everyone trying to make a name for themselves and
right.
pushing their
you think that's just
their skits.
You think that's just like a across the board thing? Because I don't see Joe doing that at any point in his life. Like I wouldn't see him like trying to take that kind of
yeah.
road.
Yeah, well, Joe talked about how on news radio they were very supportive,
right?
And it was very loving,
right?
And it was tough for Phil Hartman. After SNL to like adapt to that
kind of
more supportive environment. Yeah, he didn't expect it to be that way, and it took him a good amount of time. It's obviously important, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you not? Like, surely you're going to make the best material if everybody works together and you've got like a good working environment and people are happy.
Absolutely. I mean, that's got to be conducive to success. I obviously SNL is very successful, but you wonder what if it was had that same kind of environment as far as supportive goes, what else could have came great from it? Who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe, but also, I mean, when things are cutthroat too, and business is tough, it's like you talk about Wall Street and
pressure makes diamonds.
Sometimes it creates the best work. That's I mean, sure, it's not the nicest environment, but you definitely are pushing yourself hard.
That's true.
I mean, you can't have Navy SEALs training to be Navy SEALs if it's like, right, okay, take 5 minutes and hug everyone.
Right, that's a good point.
And I just want to walk around and say everyone's doing a good job, and it's more about participation.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to push those guys hard to make the best.
That's a good point.
Yeah, there's something, but I don't know. There's a balance in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That, it definitely is a balance.
That's what it comes down to.
So they talk a lot about, they were talking about like the effects of things like medication and when they were banging on about all the COVID stuff.
Right.
And Joe brought up the thing. So you've heard of the placebo effect, right? And then he describes something called the nocebo. I think it was called nocebo. And it's like the opposite. It's when you think you're sick because of something you've been taking, but you're not really. It's just in your mind.
Isn't that?
And I think that's.
That sounds like placebo, but I hear what. I guess I'm.
No, it's the opposite. So placebo is when you think that you're getting better because you're taking a sugar pill. So it's showing that your mind can heal you because you think you're doing something that's good for you.
Gotcha.
Nocebo is the opposite. It's like you take a sugar pill and you think it makes you sick.
Gotcha.
But there's no way it could because it's just sugar.
That sounds like some.
It's. Yeah, it's voodoo.
I was going to say, that sounds like some bad shit.
Yeah, but you got to wonder like what there is in your own life that's similar to nocebo. Maybe that whole thing of making the envious list. It's like even the fact that you are envious, like maybe there's reason to be. But by doing it, you're really hindering yourself.
Yeah, like, but it also, I think it kind of correlates with what you just said before. It also can drive you. So, I mean, it can go either way.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you just have to look at your output and how you feel and where you get your motivation from.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Talking about drive, so Jim wants to get into hunting and some sort of martial art. Obviously, Joe talked about jiu-jitsu. He's kind of planning for the end of the world. He wants to know how to fish and hunt and do all that. And it was an important point that Joe brought up. Like, look, man, you can't just go with one hunter one day or one boxing class and think you're ready to fight.
Right.
Like, it's a lifetime.
It's a, yeah.
It's so much to know, so much to learn.
That's the thing about, that's the thing about exercise and working out. You've never arrived. You're always, it's always about the journey, right? It's always about how you feel and what kind of skills you're adapting. I mean, in relation
yeah,
to
yeah, it's kind of a shame. I wish you could just be like, all right, got my black belt, never right. have to train again.
I'm in shape now. I'm never, I can eat whatever I want. That's not how it works, you know?
Straight back to ice cream, yeah. No working out.
Right. It's not like you've ever arrived, and I think as long as in life you realize that, never arrive and you'll be fine.
Mm. Yeah, the journey, not the destination. Because I guess the destination doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
Though, but we do it. That's how we think. Like, people are always talking about, oh, when I retire.
And then I'll be happy.
Like, there's this moment. Right. Yeah, there's this moment of like, oh, I just get to relax and drink martinis.
Right.
It's like, how many martinis right. before you're an alcoholic?
And how satisfying is that on a daily basis? Like, you get one car. That's the way I've always looked at it. Your body is one car. So it's like, enjoy the ride. You know, but it
yeah did, well but, you got to change the oil too.
It's true. That's a good point
You gotta change the oil.
Absolutely.
All right, well, look, I love Jim being on that. I mean, Nate to me was the most entertaining one of the week.
Yeah, I'm gonna start paying more attention to him.
Yeah, definitely follow him on Instagram. He's got a fucking hilarious, like, you know, he put up like 2-3 minutes of his act every now and again.
Right.
And I love following comics like that. Like, that's some of my favorite. Jim Gaffigan's a good one for that.
Is he? You know, I'll give him a follow too.
He posts, you know, a couple of minutes of his stuff, and it's very clean. That's how Jim does his stand up, but it's just brilliant to watch.
He's
the way he takes like the most simple ideas.
Right.
And makes them absolutely hilarious is just brilliant.
Right.
Love it. Anyway, guys, thank you as always for joining in. And that's it. See you next week.
Take care, Garrett. Guys. Peace.
Thanks again to Stereo.com. Join the after party for the JRE review every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we go live. Stereo is the app for live social conversations. And we want to talk to you directly, our listeners. Join the app using the link in the description of the show, stereo.com/JRE review, and let's talk Rogan. Download now and join us live each week to continue the conversation.